Since this is the first time I've been here, I wanted to share with you a little. I grew up in the country in Pennsylvania. We had a small farm. We had livestock. And my kids didn't get to experience all that that I got to experience with the animals. But we didn't go to church. And I remember this one time that my cousins, see, my grandfather had the idea that he's going to keep Bob from being a juvenile delinquent, and I had to go watch the cows. So we had some fields, they had no fences. So Bob had to go up, you know, day in, day out during the summer, because he didn't want that for me, but, and yet my grandfather and I weren't close. I didn't understand why he didn't like me, but that's beside the point. Anyway, I remember this time that my cousins came up from church. They'd gone to Presbyterian, and they were all excited about Sunday school. And they shared with me that how exciting it was and the fun that they had. And they went down to the house. And I said a simple prayer to the Lord. I said, "Lord, you know I don't know you, and I would like to know you." And I can still see myself that day. I'd show you the field. But in 2 weeks, my great aunt died, and it allowed my great uncle to invite my grandparents and my dad to church. And that's how we got into it. And we were an extended family before we knew that we were extended. You know how all that changes in society. But anyway, it was August of 58. And I had decided that before that month was over, that I was going to give my heart to the Lord. And I thought, even if my uncle doesn't have an invitation to come forward, I was going to go. And I was the first one up. My parents and that came, I think, out of shame. But that's beside the point. What God did in my life there was the beginning of an adventure that I appreciate. And I wanted to share with you that we were helping at a church across the mountains. Took us 45 minutes to drive that. We had to go around. But anyway, this one particular Sunday, the Lord, you know, my heart just felt that God was going to do something, and I didn't know what it was. And I got this call from a man that I grew up knowing. He hauled ice around. And he said, that he had started a little church, wanted to know if I'd be the pastor. Now, folks, I'm Pentecostal, but you know what? What does it matter? What's the name? It's whether who's in the heart.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said, "Well, come out and try it." So we were in a one-room school, and that's where we started that church. And from that one-room school, we had to go to a small, I think it was like a 55 designed trailer. It wasn't very fancy, but they made it into like a little chapel. So God has used me, and I thank Him for that. And you know, Julie said that Virginia would like to know if you would mind coming, and I said, "No, that's fine." You know, and she said, "Well, there's only going to be a couple people," but you fooled her. There's more than a couple here. So yeah, I did it. But anyway, when we think of this psalm, we think of David because David wrote it. And David begins this that saying that the Lord is my light. Now, I don't know how dark it gets out here in the country, but my uncle, my great uncle, would drive us or bring us back in the afternoon or in the evening, and we would walk at night until the snow started. But we would walk up this dirt road to our house. And I can tell you that when I got saved, that darkness got away. And that's what David said. David said that God was his light. And you think that, look what Jesus said to us, that he was the light of the world. And you and I are luminaries, according to Paul, that we reflect the sun, and our faces glow as we follow after God. And folks, it makes a difference that people can see that glow. They might not really realize what it is, but there's a change if we become Christians. And I better hurry. Or he says, and my salvation. You know, people think that there's other things that brings that salvation to us, but there isn't. There's only one that gives us salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know, and people, and in our day, where did they go? They wanted to go check out the guru because they thought he had the answer. They wanted to go and listen to the Buddhist, thinking that they had the answer. When folks, the one that had the answer was the church. The church had the answer. That Jesus is the way of salvation. There's no other way to get to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And folks, you can get excited. Remember I told you I'm Pentecostal. So, if you know, you're not going to scare me if you tell me that you amen and all that. In fact, it might be better. You know, don't have to be quiet. You won't scare the old boy. Well, that's all right, Mike. You say amen, and I noticed my daughters came this morning, and the one was saying amen, and she goes to a Baptist church, so. You know, we're all here together, folks.
That's right.
Amen.
So he said that the Lord was the stronghold of his life. And where do you and I go if we don't have the Lord? You know, it's pretty miserable out there. It's kind of scary being a Christian, let alone not having God that we can go to and turn our troubles to. Well, then David gets into about his enemies and how God is going to protect him from his enemies. And as our sister read, he said, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army, now he's pretty brave, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. And folks, you know, fear is sometimes not bad, because if there's one animal that scares me, it's a bear. And I heard this, and maybe you have too, that this guy was with a buddy, and he was putting on his shoes. And he says, well, the bear's not going to catch me. And he says, I don't have to worry because you're here. You don't run as fast as I do. And that would be me. they're, you know, a teddy bear is cute, but I don't know meeting a grizzly. Okay. One thing I ask the Lord is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. And you think of this. Do we think about the Lord like that? That here in this temple, he is. He comes to meet with you. He comes to share with you, to encourage you, to lift up your heart. And David wanted to be in that. Remember when Jesus was born and he was being dedicated, there were two older people, probably in our age, Simeon and Anna. Was it Anna? Thank you. Sometimes, yeah. But I didn't want to pull out the senior card. See, I can do that, you know. Anyway, Simeon was given the promise that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And when Anna was walking by, she saw him and she got excited. She had been married for 7 years. Her husband died, and she spent all that time in the temple. She spent that time worshiping him, praising him, and just ministering to folks as they came into the temple. That's what David wanted. David wanted to be where he is. And I don't know about you folks, but that's where I want to be. I want to be where he is. And to have that fellowship. And to know that when he hears the name Robert or Bob, he knows it's me. Because folks, if I'm praying and I'm in a terrible situation, I want him to know which Robert it is. You know, when we went to Illinois, I had redone my resume and I sent it, and this lady called, and my son was by the phone. I said, answer the phone. No, you answer the phone. And when I answered the phone, she says, are you Robert Miller that's a pastor? And I said, yes. And she says, do you know how many Robert Millers there are in Independence? Yeah. I told her I had no clue. I don't normally sit down at a telephone booth or book and run through how many Robert Millers there are. So when I call on him, I want him to know, hey, it's me. And I don't have to go into a lot of things. Well, you know who I am, Lord. No, I want him to answer. He said he wanted to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in the temple. And especially in the day of trouble. And folks, you and I are living in days of trouble. You know, I wanted to preach on perilous times that Paul talks about in Timothy. I thought, oh, that has to be a good one. Went to the dictionary and I found that perilous means difficult. And I thought, how can I put that together? How's that going to get people excited knowing that we're going to have difficult times? And you know it. You listen to the news. You get so depressed of things because it's all changed from the way that it used to be and what we used to know. Well, as David talks about this, he says, he will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock, and then my head would be exalted above my enemies. Now, folks, you and I are aware that we have enemies. And I'm not talking about the neighbor who gets disgusted because of some little quirky thing that maybe your cow or something irritates them. I'm talking about a real enemy, and that's Satan. And he wants to destroy the church. He wants to discourage you. You know, I come across this and I thought it was kind of interesting. Satan was having a garage sale. Now, we're speculating. And in this, there were some demons that was going around the table looking what the master had for sale. And they came across this item and they said, why is this so expensive? He says, because that one works, and it was discouragement. Think how he comes to you and you become so discouraged. Sometimes you want to give up because things aren't happening the way maybe you thought they should. But hang on. God's in control, folks. And we have to learn to trust him. And David was thankful that he had God on his side, no matter how many enemies came. Well, he gets down in verse 8 and he says, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. And then he talks about the fact that if my father or my mother forsake me, you won't forsake me. And folks, there's some promises that God has given. And one of them comes out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. He says, neither will I forsake you or leave you, or leave you and forsake you. Now think of that. What a promise. That those times we wonder where he is, and yet he's there. You know, there's that song, he was there all the time. He was waiting. And what do? Oh, we go around visiting with different ones, and he's still patiently waiting for us to come and talk with him. Now, you're getting a different version than what I preached earlier. You know, I don't like leftovers. And I whatever the Lord wants to give you, folks, I pray that it's encouragement to you and that it helps you. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. Because there's the nuggets in God's Word that we cling to. And to think that the God of heaven will never leave you nor forsake you. He's here for you, and he wants to help you. So whether the wind is blowing, the snow, what the rain, whatever, God's here, and God walks with you. And God's concerned about each of you. You might be small in number, but God's concerned. And he gives us the promise, if it was just Mike and me, he would be here. Yeah. But look how many there are. And folks, that doesn't discourage me. I just want to share and encourage you. I realize how rough it is out there. So David is saying to his heart, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. And no matter what is going on in our lives, if we seek him, he says he will find us. And let me give you a couple of these verses. In Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. And one of my favorites is Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. And I forgot one here. Listen to this one. He says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Now, I told them this morning that even Ma Bell cannot tell us that. You can't pick up your phone, and before you call, he already has the answer on the way. You think about that, folks. This is the God that we serve that is so caring about what you and I are going through and the difficulties that we're facing. Because you see, once we get through this and we graduate to heaven, there's no problems. There's no problems up there. So God uses what you and I go through here, our illnesses, our financial struggles, whatever it is, he uses that to draw us to him. And yet he says, before you call, I will answer. Well, I got two more. Both comes out of Matthew. And in Matthew 6:33, we are first to seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us. So what God wants us is for us to put him first And by putting him first, then he sees that. And folks, he loves you even more when we put him first. And in John 7, or Matthew 7, 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Now think of that. The promise is if we ask, we're going to receive. If we need a healing touch, God is more than able to take care of that. Finances, whatever we're struggling with. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. And where did David want to dwell? He wanted to dwell in the tabernacle, in the house of the Lord. Now, you know, we could have sung this morning, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. There's so many of those songs that we could have gone through. But you think about this. Paul mentioned in Philippians 3:10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. So you see, as we walk with God, there's that suffering that is there, that we're given. It's just part of life. You know, child gets sick, we pray and trust the Lord that he's going to heal. When I was six, my mother, dad had a son, my brother. I was in first grade. And I remember, and you know how excited first graders get. And I was really excited that I had a brother, another brother. Well, within a month, he died. Now, somebody that's not going to church, how do they handle that? And I remember I cried. I cried for at least 6 months. I don't know how it affected the other family. But I think that God used that to touch my heart. Because like Mike had shared with us, why was he a wayfaring traveler? He wanted to see his mother and dad who passed away and were in the arms of the Lord. And folks, we're going to have such a reunion. People that we didn't even know that are our relatives are going to just come around us and thank the Lord that we made it. It's going to be special. And the day that the church goes home, I want you to know, and I get excited about this, that in the middle of all those people, those children of God, God's going to be in their midst. And there's going to be a reunion that folks, because God's love is so great, so awesome. How could he love me? A sinner. And yet, he cared enough. That day in the field, I gave that little simple prayer. He cared enough to save me and to change my life. And folks, this is only the beginning. This is not the end. The end is when we step through that door on the other side. Because when we walk with God, we don't have the punishment that others have. And we've all heard stories of those that were living an ungodly life. They died. They're screaming. My feet are on fire as they slip into hell. And you think about that. Folks, it's not. Heaven is the place. And I trust that that's on our agenda. Now, I'll move down with this. So far, nobody's timing me. They time me at the other church. I always have this one brother that lets me know that I'm too windy. So bless you all for tightening your watches. So he wanted, first of all, he wanted God to teach him. Teach me your ways, Lord. We don't know his ways. Look who we are. We're sinners saved by God's grace, and we don't know how to walk with Him. And so His Word was sent to teach us, to guide us, to direct us. The other thing was that He said that He had confidence. He says, I am still confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord. And we talked about this in Sunday school, that revival is the only thing that is going to change America. And folks, we're not going back to those good old days when you and I had it so easy as children. And we didn't have to worry about whether our grandkids are going to be molested or what's going to happen to them. We had it nice. You go down to the creek, play, nobody would bother you. But it's not that way anymore. And so He's confident that God is going to change things. And revival is going to change America. Now, my brother didn't want to get political. I don't want to get political. But this woke group needs to see that there's something better than what they're propagating. That Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. But I want you to notice that as our sister read this, and in the closing verse, David says, wait. Now, I don't know about you, if any of you have gone to your dictionary and removed that word, but that word's important for us as Christians. That God wants us to wait on Him. And I shared this morning that, you know, it was 40 days when after the resurrection that Jesus was here, helping His disciples, encouraging them. But they had 10 days in which they went to the temple and they waited. And they were praying and they were meditating before the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Now, the King James uses the word tarry. We don't use that anymore. We don't tell you that you need to tarry and wait on the Lord. We just say wait. You have no choice, right? But you think about that. And in Isaiah chapter 40, there's a special verse for us old people. But none of you are old. It's just me. You think about this. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And the verse above that said that even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So I'd like to pray. Okay. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You this morning for the fact of being here. And we thank You for each individual, each family that is represented. Father, You know the church, You understand the people. And Father, You want to do a new thing in all of our lives. You want, oh God, to reveal Yourself in such a way that hungry hearts will stop as they go flying by. And they'll come in. And their lives will be transformed because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So bless now, we pray. Be with each one throughout this day. And may, Lord, we think upon this psalm that David had written. That how precious You are. How caring. How loving. And yet, oh God, your mercies are renewed every morning. They're fresh. And we thank You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.